Okay, we'll call the meeting to order. Michelle, would you please lead us in the pledge?
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, comments from board members, Mr. Miller. Comments from board members?
What?
No comments. Mr. Rex?
I'd like to thank everybody for having the board meeting last month without me. But I did listen to it. Luckily, I owe that to Lisa. I listened to all you guys go through the agenda. And thank you for all your decisions.
Mr. Fleury.
This week the Lions Club is going to help at Linda School on Thursday and Edgewater on Friday, and like every other entity, we're short of money, so our former president is paying for all of the root beer floats. They were told we may have 1,500 at Edgewater on Friday.
Mr. Harris.
None.
Mr. Crawford.
I'd like to congratulate all the area athletes and that made it to the Hershey Finals and did a heck of a job. That's track and field.
Yes.
And the Olympics were cool.
Really?
That's it.
Ms. Markle.
Nothing tonight.
Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Unified Teachers, Operating Engineers Local Union 3, CSEA 326-648, Association Management Confidential Employees, Supervisory Unit, Public Comments, No Public Comment Cards, Superintendent's Report, Dr. Todd.
I just have one item this evening. As you know, the last couple of years we have done the back-to-school backpack drive, and this year we're going to be doing it a little differently in that Sutter Medical Foundation has been our big sponsor, and they are, at this point in time, unless something happens at the last minute, concerned about the level of donations. And so we are not going to have you deliver backpacks on the first day of school. We are instead this year going to go on a referral to Jamie Larson, who is in charge of the homeless program. So principals were told, I believe it was today or yesterday, during our management team meetings, that it would be on a referral basis so that it's really twofold. One is that the kids who really need the backpacks get them, and that backpacks aren't sitting around the office with people stumbling over them for months. We want to make sure they get to the kids who truly need them. This will also give us an opportunity to have backpacks throughout the year, because as you know, when kids are homeless, they tend to move a lot and their belongings get lost or displaced, or they just don't seem to have them throughout the year. So we will continue to have principals and sites and their support staff work with us in identifying those students who truly need the backpacks. We have had a number of calls from parents, and I have heard the spots on the radio announcing that Sutter Medical Foundation, in conjunction with the Marysville Joint Unified School District Education Foundation's backpack drive, is going on. So we're hoping that we'll see an increase in what's come in to date, but it was looking a little dismal as of, I think, Monday afternoon. So we'll see what we need to do, and we'll make it happen. We'll go out to various groups if we need to see if we can't get some of those supplies that our kids need. And that's the end of my report. So no deliveries on Monday.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Todd. Move on to approval of minutes. Minutes from the regular board meeting of July 24th, 2012. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
Motion by Mr. Harris, is seconded by Mr. Crawford. All those in favor?
Yeah.
Six yes. Abstentions? One. Mr. Rex abstains. Consent agenda. Would anybody like anything pulled on the consent?
I have a question before we pull anything. On the consent agenda, there's a lot of agreements with different foundations, colleges, and so forth. Are those required by state law that we provide these educational services for the teachers?
As part of our program improvement status, we are required to provide ongoing research-based staff development, and that's what these are part of. Some of these are continuing contracts. The one with Larry Jones is an ongoing contract with the consultants that the teachers seem to really appreciate his insights and working with them on trying to move our most difficult students to grade level. So, yes, as a program improvement, we are not allowed to do our own staff development.
Okay, thank you.
Would anybody like anything pulled? If not, is there a motion?
So move.
Okay, motion by Mr. Miller. Is there a second? Seconded by Ms. Markle. All those in favor? Seven yes. No old business. Move on to new business. This is resolution 2012-07. Excuse board members. Attendance at meeting of the Board of Trustees. Any questions? Is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion by Ms. Markle. Is there a second? Seconded by Mr. Fleury. All those in favor? Six yes. Abstentions? One. Mr. Rex abstains. Business services number one, resolution 2012-13-08, adopting a mitigated negative declaration and approving the Hamilton Smartville School project. Mr. Allgaier.
Thank you and good evening. I do need to say a few things for posterity, so bear with me for just a few minutes, if you would, please. On the easel over there by Mr. Miller is a color rendering of the East Linda Master Plan. You cannot proceed or finish a CEQA study without a site master plan, because that is what the CEQA study is studying, is the master plan. So that is a large version of the master plan that there is a page in the document itself which essentially shows the same thing, and we also have some 11 by 17 versions that we can hand out. This evening is the final initial study mitigated negative declaration, the ISMND, for this project. If you recall, at the July 24th meeting, we had the draft. We had a public hearing. There were no public comments at that time. Since then, we received two written comments, one from the State Department of Toxic Substance Control and one from Yuba County. Those comment letters and our responses were stapled together and given to the board members loose in their packet so that you could see them. Those documents are also included in the final initial study, along with some very minor changes to the study due to the comment letters. And this is the complete study with all the appendices printed out. Again, this is essentially the same document that you saw at the last meeting, with except for those relatively minor changes I mentioned, plus the comment letters and our responses. Essentially, that's the difference between what you saw on the 24th and what you see this evening. And for the record, we do have extra copies over on the table for members of the public. The thin version is the main study without the appendices printed. Michelle's here this evening. In case I can't answer any questions, she should be able to answer any other questions the board might have. I'd like to, again, point out how much time and effort she's put into this. Again, many, many hours went into that site plan. Many different versions were explored. It looks real good now, and you'd think it was pretty simple to put together, but it really wasn't. There was quite a bit of time put in just to that site plan, as well as reviewing and reading all these documents. So this did keep Michelle busy for a while. This is, as you recall, part of the process to comply with the State Allocation Board's facility hardship approval that was granted in May of 2011. We have until May of 2013 to complete all their requirements. Again, this is one of the requirements. It is not the only requirement. However, it is a key requirement that we need to complete. a board approval this evening would complete the CEQA study, and we'd be able to move on to some of the other items we still need to complete. We are on schedule to complete those items by May of 2013, and we are preparing a update letter to the Office of Public School Construction to let them know basically where we are at this point in time. So, with all those background comments, I'd open it up for any questions from the board and, of course, ask for your approval of the document.
One question about time, calendar time. When we approve this, and we're supposed to have all this done by May of 13, is there a calendar on us to get this project funded and underway? Or do we have, like,
I should have mentioned that. The site plan up there does not require the district actually to do anything. It is a plan. Under CEQA, you have to have a plan. You have to have a project in which to study. This does not obligate the district to build anything on this property as shown on that plan. That is, each and every construction project would require a separate board approval. Part of the state allocation board's contingency was that we would have building plans approved by the Division of State Architect and by CDE and the other regulatory agencies to house a minimum of 596 students on the East Linda site. We are currently moving towards that. The architects, working with Michelle, are on schedule to submit that to the state. We anticipate it will go to the Division of the State Architect somewhere around November the 1st. It would be a permanent office building, a permanent multi-purpose, some of the site improvements, some of the field improvements, and would relocate portables from Yuba Gardens to East Linda. Again, that simply would mean we would have approvals, would not mean we'd have funding.
But how long is this approval good for? Is it good for 5 years, 2 years?
The CEQA approval?
Yes.
Forever.
Okay, that's my question.
I'm sorry. Was that your original question?
That was my original
question. Okay, that was a long answer to your question then. Sorry about that.
Yeah. But no, that was my original
question. Unless a future board made a material change to the plan, in which case you might have to re-update the CEQA study, it's good forever.
All right, thank you.
Sorry I gave you such a long answer. Than you want.
Is there any chance the state's going to give us the matching funds for this, or that we can actually undertake this in the next 3 or 4 years?
The receiving matching funds from the state would be dependent on the state passing another statewide bond. Their unfunded list already exceeds by a wide margin the available bond funds at the state level. We have three projects on that unfunded list that we would anticipate being funded and built. This is not one of them. You can't get it on the unfunded list until you've received all the approvals. By the time that happens, it will be far enough, so far down the unfunded list that it'll be completely dependent on another state bond. And then we would still have to come up with our share of the funding.
Any other questions?
The alternative school on the plan, does that have to be there, or can we do away with it at this time?
You can't do away with it tonight without delaying this whole process. So I would advise not to do that. You don't have to build it. Nothing on there. You're not approving construction projects. This evening you're approving a CEQA study. Each and every construction project in the future would have to come back to the board for approval.
You're right, but this is what CEQA approves, is this plan here. And each time we change it, that'll require another study. Is that not correct?
Depending on exactly what the change is, sometimes that triggers another study, sometimes it doesn't. Depends on the magnitude of the change and specifically what's being changed.
So it would be better to change, if we had objections to it, change it tonight rather than let it go down the road, so to speak, and a future board have problems with it.
Well, I understand what you're saying. A future board can simply not approve the construction of the project.
I'm sorry?
A future board would simply not approve the construction
of
that project.
Well, that's if they don't want a particular aspect of this plan.
Right.
Right. But if they approve this plan as stands, or if we approve it tonight and it gets down to another board and they don't approve a certain area, then they have to start all over again. But that plan is part of the report.
If you simply didn't build it, I don't know that it would require any additional study. If you changed it to something else, that might trigger an additional study. And that's, of course, under current law. Who knows what the rules would be in, 10 years from now. But.
Correct. But I see a big problem with the alternative ed program being next to an intermediate school.
Right.
And that's my objection to this plan is the alternative ed being next to an intermediate school. And I'd like to see it taken out, personally.
If at a future date, and we built it just the way it is, we could designate those alternative ed classrooms for something else if we needed them. We wouldn't, just because they're built and they say alternative ed, doesn't mean that they will always be used for alternative ed, just like this building was a high school once. It's not high school anymore. So even if the buildings were there, we could add them into the middle school if we needed them and move alternative ed somewhere else. At least we'd have the classrooms there.
Yes. If in the future classrooms were built, they could be used for alternative ed, or they could be used for some related use, such as additional classrooms for the middle school. To use a somewhat silly example, you couldn't turn it into a shopping center. That would trigger CEQA, along with some other problems. But simply building classrooms and using them as classrooms isn't going to trigger CEQA problems.
As it stands right now, alternative ed, because I take it if that's the program you're talking about, it's over here.
That's the current thinking, yes.
Yeah. Is next to a charter school, 7-12, a high school, 9-12, and the kids do intermingle to a certain extent as they move to their various locations. And that school is, and they're going home, and they're moving, and things of that sort. And at this point, it doesn't seem to have any kind of problems. They're awfully crowded over there. And if anything, the alternative ed kids really do need playing fields and places for sports and to get some of that energy out in a very positive manner. And so to. If you're worried about security, I have a feeling that's all going to be sort of written into their personal programs. I just think that right now it works, and you know what? The kids in alternative ed, in my way of looking at it, are not, they march to a different drum. They have problems that need to be addressed. They need to have room to be able to address those problems, and right now they're in a little tiny sort of section that they can't expand. Does that make any sense?
Well, and I would also submit that a rendering of that scale does not include fencing and other security-related items that we'd be putting in.
But if we felt like that was needed at the time, I'm sure that that would be written into the plan. If we felt like there was that kind of thing. I just think the kids need some room to expand. To put them into a little corner and say, this is your little place in the world. And, you know, we want them to succeed. They haven't succeeded in other settings.
But we're not talking about putting them in a little corner. That would be something here again for a future board to decide.
Yeah. That's
what we're talking about now is when there was classes taking place with alternative ed kids at Yuba Gardens, they were a disruption. They would not leave. They had classes till noon. They would not leave that school ground, and they became a disruption to other kids that were trying to keep on the school grounds, keep in the educational system. A lot of the kids, not a lot, a few of the kids were, you know, the alternate kids would come in and say, come on, let's go. And they would take off with them. So you were missing some kids. Like I say, it wasn't a number, large number of kids, but it was some. I can see you have high school kids and you're having them together with intermediate school kids. I see that happening on a bigger scale.
You know, I understand where you're coming from. I honestly do. Having started my teaching career out in teaching emotionally disturbed children and being a county class within a district school back in Pennsylvania, I think 9/10 of my job was public relations to get everybody to accept my kids. And those kids were troublemakers. I'm not going to say they weren't. They were. And if they could find something to do that wasn't right, they could find it. But it was my job as a teacher to channel them in the right directions and to make sure that they were safe and that everybody else around us was safe. And I think that that goes on in alternative ed. That's part of what you learn to do as an alternative ed teacher. You taught alternative ed. I think it can be very positive. I understand where you're coming from. Yes, it can be a problem, but I think that's the teacher and the administration of the school's job to see to it that doesn't become a problem to the other school. Not a fiscal problem. I mean, you know, you schedule your fields and you let them go out and play basketball or play baseball or do whatever and keep them busy. Keep the kids busy and give them a positive way of going, and they'll have it should work. I just want to be positive on it.
Currently, the way it's designed, it is two very separate campuses. Mm-hmm. It's not classrooms on. It's okay. Oh, it's okay. As I was saying, it's not as if we have classrooms for alternative ed on the middle school campus. They are two very distinct campuses. There are how many acres in this project, on this parcel of land?
50.
50 acres. So it's not as if they're going to be walking on the same campus. They're separated. But I think the point to remember is this is part of what we need to do to meet the hardship facility decision and to get in line for funding. At this point in time, it's really far down the road, and decisions can be changed, plans can be altered based on what the board that is sitting there at that time. And right now it's looking like it's a number of years down the road because we're going to have to wait for state funding, and that's not available. Far down the list. I think it's imperative that we meet the timelines. And I don't know that all of the board has objections to the alternative school being on a 50-acre parcel with a middle school. So we'd have to establish that first, that others have similar concerns, which they may. But at this point in time, I think it's imperative that we get our ducks in a row and make sure we're meeting all of the requirements that have been set forth so that we can use what has been given to us in the hardship application.
Just one other thing. Are we going to be responsible for a traffic light there? Or is that decided? I noticed there's none on the...
Yeah, Yuba County's letter made certain demands as to which essentially our response was we would pay our fair share portion of our impact, which is what is required under the law. We would, of course, expect to put in frontage improvements, you know, sidewalks, things like that, as well as the utilities that we'd have to put in. According to the traffic study, we would be responsible for one traffic signal, partly responsible for one traffic signal. Therefore, again, our response is simply we would pay our fair share.
And there's the space that we didn't purchase, that's the county park?
Well, my understanding is it's still owned by the original property owners. It hasn't transferred. The county wants it for a county park, but I'm not aware that they've purchased it. And that, of course, is not shown on that map or in our study. That's outside our property.
Any other questions? Any other comments? If not, is there a motion?
Move for approval.
Motion by Ms. Markle. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Rex. All those in favor?
Aye.
Six yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Opposed? One. Mr. Miller opposes. Okay. We'd like to close the meeting in memory of a couple of people. Mr. Fleury?
Edna Johnson, I believe, was our most senior member of our district, passed away on July 31st. The funeral was held on August 6th at New Life. I came in and talked to Mr. Carrion. He gave me some nice words because they'd asked me to speak at the funeral. She was an outstanding employee, worked for 38 years at Johnson's Park, leaving only 1 year for Linda School. She had been foster mother to over 120 foster kids, which is amazing, even into the 80s. And even when she got sick, she still wanted to come back another year.
And Mr. Harris?
Yes. Ted Wood was a board member for 11 years with the district, and his service was held today. Ted was a retired employee at Caltrans and lived in Linda for until about probably 20 years ago. And he moved to Sutter.
Okay, thank you. Meeting's adjourned.